Welcome back to another episode of The Political Life. Today, we are very excited to visit again with Holland & Knight, one of the premier firms in Washington, D.C. Seems like every time I look, they seem to go higher up in the rankings in big firms. We had interviewed the head of that D.C. public affairs office, Rich Gold, a while back, which was a great interview. One of my more relaxed guests that I've had on the show. So if you haven't heard that episode, I would encourage you to go back and listen to that. Today, we have two of Rich's partners, two senior advisors joining us today. And we're going to hear about their careers and hear about Holland & Knight and hear about what is going on in Washington, D.C. They are both senior advisors, and one is Beth Viola and one is Shauna Whatley. And so, Shauna and Beth, welcome.
Well, thanks for having us. We're excited to be here.
Yeah, well, we are excited to have you. So, Shauna, why don't I start with you and just get an update? We're recording this on September 4th. So, I guess Congress is starting to. We'll start to head back after the Labor Day weekend. It's been crazy in D.C. What does September look like for D.C. and for you all coming up?
Well, thanks again for having us. I'm excited to be here. It's an honor. So basically, after the Labor Day holiday, Congress, the House and the Senate will come back and reconvene. The things that we definitely need to do is do a continuing resolution for the fiscal year because it ends in September 30th. So appropriations, they were not able to get that completed. And so they'll have to come up with a continuing resolution that will definitely get done. And then we'll take a look at, you know, the COVID relief package. There won't be any stimulus in it, but they are negotiating the relief package. And so, you know, we started off in the House with the HEROES bill, and that was at $3 trillion. It looks like we're going to probably end up somewhere between 1.8 and 2 trillion from what we're hearing with negotiations between Secretary Mnuchin and Pelosi. This McConnell, for whatever reason, hasn't really been as engaged, but there are a few things that they definitely will want. So we'll see how that comes out. But I would say there's a 2/3 chance of that getting completed before the end of the month as well. And then we head into the election cycle. And after the election, they'll take up their appropriations measures, hopefully to get those done. If not, they may kick it down the road till March. So whoever the new president is and the new Congress may end up kind of finalizing appropriations for 2021.
Wow, that's great. And Beth, do you have anything to add to that or thoughts?
No, I think it'll be interesting to watch. I mean, it seems like two really easy things to do, fund the government and fund a relief bill for a country in real dire straits. But of course, they're going to be incredibly political. And it is interesting that Mitch McConnell isn't really playing a very active role in the negotiations. He's just completely deferring to the White House. But I think to Shauna's point, I mean, the piece that he would like to see most in there, where he's really laid down his red line, is over liability insurance, liability for companies that have frontline workers that are dealing with COVID to minimize their exposure.
Yeah. Since the COVID crisis hit in March, your world must be just turned upside down, and you must be hearing from clients, both new and old, as to what's going on. Beth, what has it been like hearing from clients during the COVID crisis?
I mean, it's been complete madness. I mean, when we first started working from home, I mean, we took our whole firm, which is, you know, 1,200 attorneys, professionals, and all of our staff completely offline in one day to working from home. But almost all of our clients did too. So, you know, Shauna can speak to the fact that she represents a lot of local governments and the challenges they faced. But, you know, for us on the energy side, even though we don't work with a lot of big oil companies, I mean, the demand destruction we saw on the energy side plus the pandemic created a perfect storm for a lot of energy companies that found themselves in dire straits, and it had implications throughout the marketplace. And so it was just, we worked nonstop from home. I mean, we didn't when people said we didn't know what day of the week it was, the only reason I knew it was Sunday was because maybe there were only four or five Zooms instead of all day long. It was really quite madness. But it's interesting how well we've all adapted and learned to adjust to working from home. Even our interactions with the Hill have changed.
Yes, much more difficult to have small talk conversations or quick conversations in the hallway.
Correct.
Shauna, you, you represent local governments. Your phone must be ringing off the hook. How, that has been an incredible challenge. How is that going?
Actually, it's been going, as Beth said, it's just been unbelievable, the amount of work and the demand. But, you know, I'm thankful that we were able to, you know, pivot quickly and just get the work done. We had a lot of work to do in the, with the CARES Act and representing local governments because there was so much need. And, you know, we did an outstanding job. We were able to make sure that cities, in a lot of cases, received direct funding. And even in the next bill, because of the work that we did in CARES and HEROES, many more cities will qualify for direct funding where they didn't before. We're making sure that transit agencies and airports are receiving direct funding because there's a need there. And local governments, you know, they're going to have to start laying folks off if they don't receive an injection of funds in this next bill. So we're working hard. We're pushing forward. We're making sure that, you know, our voices are heard. You know, I really appreciate the work that I'm doing because I know it's impacting everyday Americans and helping, you know, them move forward and just sustain during this unprecedented time.
And so that in that CARES Act, there was a cutoff, right? Was it a population cutoff?
Yes, there was a population cutoff. You had to have more than 500,000 citizens in order to receive direct funding. And we had a client who fell right below that number, and we were successful in getting them included by asking for them to use the 2019 census, which said they have 500,000 in population. And because of that work, we were able to make the argument that these cities need direct funding because the money is going to the governors. And not everyone is, you know, they're doing the best that they can. I'm not, you know, judging governors, but there's so much work to be done. And if the cities can receive the money directly, then the faster that it can be put out and to help small businesses to make sure that people are receiving PPP and all the other ways that the money can be used.
And Beth, how, I know you do a lot of environmental work. What has that been like? And actually, so you worked in the Clinton White House at the Environmental Council, is that correct?
Council on Environmental Quality, yep. I worked for President Clinton and primarily Vice President Gore during my tenure there.
And how long were you in the White House? And what is that like to work in the White House?
It is madness. It's a whirlwind. I am grateful that it was before all the 24/7 social media world, because it's 24/7 without all of that, but at least there was an actual news cycle in those days. But it was amazing. I mean, I worked on every major policy initiative that came out of that administration as it related to environment and climate change. You know, I got to go to the big Kyoto climate summit with Al Gore on Air Force Two. You know, I traveled with him a lot.
What was that like?
That was an interesting trip. It took me a really long time to recover from that trip. We went to Florida on a Saturday morning, went down to Florida, did a speech for the 50th anniversary of Everglades National Park, made a big announcement, went back to Andrews, changed planes, flew to Kyoto through the night, had to completely write a whole new speech. So talking to our speechwriters on the ground in Kyoto, I'm on the plane redoing it with him and the speechwriter with us. And then we were on the ground for less than 24 hours in Kyoto, turned around and came home, flew back. So I left on a Saturday. I came home on a Monday night, and I've been to Florida and Kyoto.
That's incredible.
But it was amazing. But, you know, I got to meet the Pope once. I mean, it was insane amount of work. It was sometimes I'd be in the car driving home and I don't even remember how I got there because it was so intense. But it's also a lot of really amazing policy work for which I'm very proud, and some amazing experiences that I'll never forget.
So you went from the White House to Holland and Knight. Did you meet, I know Rich was at some point in the administration. Did you meet Rich in the administration?
I actually
Rich Gold, Rich, that is, for our listeners.
Yes. Yes. I did know Rich Gold a little bit before, but not that well. But when he joined Holland & Knight, my roommate, when I first moved to Washington, she and I moved to DC together. She had been hired by Holland & Knight by the founder of our firm, Chesterfield Smith. And so she called me one day and said, Chesterfield would like to talk to you about, they're going to hire Rich Gold. And I was like, who? And it took me a minute. But Rich has been an amazing head of our group, and they made the right decision hiring him. But when I went to Rich, well, Rich kind of came to me and said, well, if you're thinking about leaving, you know, we'd really love to talk to you. And I was a little bit surprised, but it could not have been a better fit. Otherwise, I would never have lasted here 20 years.
Well, you seem like you really enjoy it.
I do. And I'm grateful because I have really amazing colleagues like Shauna.
Well, and Shauna, you ran your own firm and you've been active in the Democratic Leadership Council and you've been at Holland & Knight over 12 years. People seem to stick around. They must like that firm.
Yeah, it's a great place to work. I love the work that I do. I'm able to do, you know, I call passion projects and work for companies or individuals or organizations that can't necessarily afford a firm like Holland & Knight. We're able to do pro bono work. You know, I have great clients, great colleagues. As Beth said, Rich is just a great leader. And no organization is perfect, but I think Holland & Knight, for me and my family, it works really well. And I'm excited about what the future holds.
And Shauna, you worked for Bob Kerry, Senator Kerry?
Yes, I worked in the Senate for, I think, about 5 years for Senator Bob Kerry from Nebraska. I'm originally from Nebraska. I interned for him when I was in college at Howard. And then it was just a natural fit for me to go and work for him on the Hill. So it was a great experience. He was an amazing person, just an all-American hero. And it was an honor to be a part of his staff.
Yeah, he was a bit of a rock star in the political world for a while, you know, back then. Yeah. And so now talking about your current work, for those of our listeners who are not in Washington, D.C. and not on the Hill, now, my guess is that you are both, Shauna was giving kind of a shout out to Beth when she was talking about the Clinton White House. I assume you are both on the Biden team, so to speak.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Enthusiastically, yes.
Exactly.
So how much of your time is spent, obviously you're on the phone a lot. You know, it's hard to ask this question because now we're in this COVID world, but obviously you spend, in a typical pre-COVID, you would spend a lot of time communicating with clients and what their needs are. And then you spend a lot of time communicating with people on the Hill and trying to get the work done. How would you break down that? Is it like 50-50? Is it, how is your typical week, if you can give people a sense of what your work week is like, either pre-COVID or during COVID? I mean, I know now it's Zoom all the time, all day, all night. But so Beth, why don't we start with you?
It's interesting. You know, I think it's probably, you know, when Congress is in session, I'd say, you know, 60% of my time is spent on the Hill, you know, with clients. There's kind of a rhythm to it when we're in a regular world, if you will. But, you know, we have clients that come in every week when Congress is in and we're up on the Hill with them. You know, right now, it's so fascinating. It's, you know, information is our currency. And so, like you said, not being able to see someone in the hall and share information is a challenge. But we found that for staff, that's also a challenge for them. They're not in a committee hearing and they don't see the top staff director and have any intel. So I think there's a lot of staff that now call us too to find out what are we hearing, what's going on, have you talked to this office? And in some ways, there's a efficiency and a focus to a lot of the conversations we have with Capitol Hill with our clients. They will happily get on a Zoom. I did a Zoom the other day with energy and commerce staff and some, you know, five top staff people on a call with one of our incubator clients. And I couldn't believe we had that kind of talent for 30 minutes, completely paying attention, asking questions, nobody looking at their iPhone. Like, it was amazing. So I think there is some positive things about it in this new world, but it's a challenge. You know, it's not the same as being in a room and having that chemistry with someone.
Well, it's interesting you say that because it does seem on these video calls that there are less distractions and almost more focus. Now, I think it speaks to your relationships and how you manage your business, the fact that you were able to get those five people on the call, because if you didn't know them or have any credibility, you probably couldn't get them on the phone. So that's really interesting. And yeah, it's a difficult time to have those casual interactions. And it's also, I think that's a little bit different in DC, where you said when you're in session, you usually have clients in town every week. That is probably not the case at state level. State level is typically in session from January to June. And you know, there are periods of that session which are fairly slow, and then at the end where it's fairly busy. And Shauna, how about you? How would you give the breakdown for your work, similar to Beth?
Yeah, I would characterize it as pretty much the same. As she said, there is a rhythm to it. So, you know, from like January to April, it's pretty intense because folks are coming in, talking to members during their federal agenda, and then, you know, talking about what they need in the appropriations and then budget. And then depending on what bills are being reauthorized or that are important to them. But during COVID, because, you know, essentially everyone's trying to make sure that their voice is heard related to, you know, the CARES or the HEROES bill, or I forget, I think it was HILS that came out of the Senate. Like, folks are really trying to make sure that, you know, their concerns are being heard or they're being included, whatever their agenda is, in these packages. So it's been a little, you know, whenever there's negotiations start back up, then our work gets a little bit heavier. And then when it slows down, then we slow down a little bit. So it's really depending on how things are moving on the Hill for right now. But like appropriations, that's pretty consistent. So, you know, if you're doing appropriations work, then that's been a consistent kind of thread and movement, regardless of whether we're in have a pandemic going on or not. So it's been interesting. I particularly, I'm an introvert, so I have been thriving in this environment. Like, you know, like the efficiency, the, you know, being effective, the impact. Like members, I have found that members and staffers are, as Beth has stated, are much more available because they can get on a call. They're not hopping from meeting to meeting to meeting. And they're not just trying to get you in and out. So it's just, you know, I think there's some things that we can, obviously this is a horrible situation and I would never choose for us to be here. But I think there's some things that we can take out of this, some lessons learned that can help as we move forward and how we interact on the Hill and how we get things done. So
when you have clients coming to town, is that a little bit more work, more stress, more coordination? You probably have to tell people in the office, we have such and such client coming in. What's that like?
Oh, for sure. Like, it's just banana.
I mean, you know, it really is a lot more. I will say this part of it, I actually feel is really great and efficient, but the amount of time we used to spend, you know, not only getting everything scheduled, but then the logistics of when is the client getting here? When are we feeding them? How are we getting around efficiently? It's going to be 100 degrees like in this summer. You know, it's stressful. And a meeting runs late. Now we need to call the next three meetings, let them know we're behind. Like, we don't have any of those problems right now. So like Shauna said, like, those are the good things that have come out of it that I hope we can continue to find a way to embrace. But unlike Shauna, I am a total extrovert. So I am not one of these people thriving at home. I mean, I see, if I do go to the office and I see the mail guy come to pick up packages, I'm like a puppy at the front door, like, hi, 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 hi. You know?
It is interesting how when you're scheduling the day, like trying to figure out, okay, how much time, you know, is this meeting going to last? Is it going to be like a 15-minute meeting? Is it going to be 45 minutes? And then sure enough, the one where you're like, oh, that'll be quick. I can schedule that one a half hour later. You know, the chairperson or whoever it may be is running late, and then they just start talking and you don't want to cut them off. And it is stressful.
It is.
All right. Well, and Shauna, you mentioned that the firm is pretty good about doing pro bono work. Have you been active doing pro bono work?
Mm-hmm. I've represented some HBCUs in the pro bono. I also, one of my most proudest accomplishments as a lobbyist, period, is the work that I did with children of color who are on the autism spectrum. And we were able to get them some special recognition in the reauthorization of the autism bill, which they didn't have before, and getting children of color tested and forget the word that they use. But anyway, to make sure that their counterparts are being diagnosed, you know, maybe 5 to 7 years before they are. And those are critical years. And so the funding and acknowledgement that we were getting into the bill was very helpful in that regard. We were able to do a film on the work that we did, and we submitted it to the Cannes Film Festival and actually won in the American Pavilion for Best Documentary Short. And that film, what's important to me is that film is being used across the country in communities of color to help folks to recognize that my child doesn't necessarily have a behavioral issue. There's something serious going on here. So I'm just very proud of the work that we've been able to do. And I appreciate that Holland and I, you know, it wasn't just me doing the work. You know, we have colleagues who weigh in and are a part of the work. You know, if you bring in a pro bono client and you send it out and say, hey, are you willing to be helpful with this? And they're always willing to do so. So I appreciate the team model that we have and the camaraderie that we have. It's a unique situation.
And you mentioned do work for the historically Black colleges.
Yes. So I attended Howard University and we did pro bono work for Howard. I know that I shouldn't say it, but it's the number one HBCU in the country.
Oh, as well as we're going to get some feedback on that.
Exactly. The number one university, period. but I was very proud of the work that I was able to do in working with Howard. And, you know, the funding that we were able to push forward actually led up to the significant funding that was achieved in this last appropriation cycle. So very thankful to be able to be a part of that.
That's great. And now you also have a podcast, correct? On a personal side.
I do. I have a podcast called Courageous Conversations. I have a business partner. We work together and we just interview. It's Wild presents Courageous Conversations, and Wild represents women interested in leadership development. And it's more of a ministry. It's Christian-based. It's Christian women. We just try to provide resources and opportunities and have courageous discussions on pertinent issues of the day, mental health, business, entrepreneurship, Christian religious topics as well. But I enjoy it. It's been one of the things that has allowed me to kind of make it through this period because I enjoyed it. I never thought I would ever, you know, have a podcast. It just never really crossed my mind because I am an introvert, but it's been a blessing just to have something else that I can do to help others.
That's great. So WIILD. Well, we'll put a link to that and to the, if we can, to the movie clip on autism, we'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Beth, you got your start in Rhode Island. So you're, and you went to Providence. We have a Friar here. Yeah. So a Friar, the Big East basketball is getting back together. Well, at least for UConn, University of Connecticut is rejoining the Big East. Do you follow Providence basketball?
Of course.
How do you guys look? Who knows in these days?
Are they going to actually get to play? I mean, so we'll see. Yeah. I have to say, I do follow the Friars, but I am really a diehard New England Patriots fan, as my girl Shauna knows.
Yes.
So this will be an interesting year without our boy, or as I call him, my boyfriend, Tom Brady. So
yes, were you a little disappointed that they didn't find a way to keep him?
Yeah. Yes, that was the second day home from working from home. I will never forget it. So it was like,
So COVID hit and then Tom Brady. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. And Beth, what about you with pro bono? Are you also active doing some pro bono work?
Absolutely. I mean, everyone in the firm has committed to doing pro bono, but pro bono was a really big reason why I joined Holland & Knight, because it's part of the Holland & Knight commitment. And I have done so many amazing pro bono projects over the years, but I think one of the things that I'm most proud of is 2 years ago, managing to secure Holland & Knight's commitment to do $2 million in pro bono through Lawyers for a Sustainable Economy to help, you know, innovative startup technologies or local governments who just need legal help doing anything that's related to climate change and trying to reduce emissions from the atmosphere. So it's a really great project. And it's so many firms across the country now that have engaged, but we were one of the founding members. So it's really great work.
And Beth, you mentioned climate change. Obviously, it's a huge focus of yours. Where are we today with climate change and where are you spending most of your time?
So it is a very big priority. It is shocking to me that we don't have any mandates in place, that the U.S. government has committed to pulling out of the Paris Accord, hopefully with some new leadership. We talked about, you know, we're Team Biden. So hopefully with President Biden, we will quickly reengage in the world stage. But I think there's still a lot of really good work going on in the United States today, trying to develop and commercialize innovative technologies that will really help us meet our climate targets for the future.
Well, look, it has been great having you both on here. We really appreciate you taking the time. And it's great to revisit with Holland and Knight. We wish you all the best in the coming month and with all that work. And hopefully things go well for you. For our listeners out there, remember you can follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. You can also sign up for our Monday morning email at thepoliticallife.net. Comes out every Monday along with the show. And so there'll be one with this show. And you will you can sign up for that on our website. And we hope you all stay safe, stay healthy. Keep practicing your social distancing. For now, I guess there's a potentially a vaccine on the horizon at some point, which someone said would only be 50% effective. I was like, oh boy, that doesn't... How about 99? Can we shoot for 99? And so we hope everyone has a safe week, and we will see you next Monday.